thankful we have the privilege to speak. We feel very humble, unworthy. We see many that we have looked to for years. I say right now, we praise the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for you. And the reason that we're where we are today is by, I believe, the theme of this conference, God's amazing grace. That's fantastic. When we sing these songs, I needed all of those songs that was just sung. I think the theme, if we'd say a theme, Brother Roger said, grace and faith can't be two. And Brother Kelly preached on faith. And I believe if where there's faith, there's some evidence. Brother Rogers preached, that's the same thing as works, I believe, evidence that their faith is there. We say we believe these things. I'm concerned about some things. I've been in, over the last few years, Don said he's known us a long time. We're thankful for him and for this church and for the confidence that they have put in us, give us the authority to do mission work in Mount Clemens. You know, many times we don't take the work as serious as we ought to. And we're living in a time where politics prevail, not just in government and not just in workplaces, but also in our churches. And it's not a light thing, and I don't take it lightly or think of it lightly. When I asked him if he would grant us authority, if we could come and join this body, and he would grant us authority to go out. Some of you know the situation, and I'm not going to get into that. I'm not condemning anybody. It's just when I came to the place and the people explained it to our people and prayed over the thing, and I talked to many of you brethren, and I'm sure some of you understand what happened. We just simply came to the place where we felt the leadership of the Lord that we could no longer stay and support the things that was there. And so we thank you for your prayers, for your encouragement, and for your understanding. As I said, we have been put sometimes in the last 10, 12 years in some positions of controversy. And I don't know. I don't ask anybody to take my word for anything too much anymore. But I do ask you to don't judge me on what you hear somebody else tell you. Judge me on what I do and what I say and what we strive to do for the Lord, what the Lord does through us. We're not going to do much. The Lord doesn't do through us. And this is what we're concerned about today is the Lord's work. I hear a lot of fellows say, you know, well, I let my work speak for itself. I don't have a work. The Lord has a work. And if he sees fit to use me, I praise him for it. And this is the way we look at it. But certainly, as we look at Romans, and we're just going to skip around here for a little bit till I get settled down, I guess. But we say we believe a lot of things. You know, we say Romans 1:16, as Paul did, you know, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Then we say over in Romans 10, I think I'll turn and read that. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we don't have time to turn to all the scripture that supports that position. But the Bible says, we believe the Word of God, we believe the Bible is the Word of God, and it says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe.
Amen.
And as I look back, and I, having been saved 35 some years, and I look back, I like to look at people's lives that enhance that and prove that. I think Paul says it. He said to believe those things, you know, that you've been taught, and know whom that has taught them to you. And we praised the Lord last night when Brother Hilly preached. That was fantastic. That was great. They've all been great. We ask you to pray for us. You know, it's easy for us to understand as we look. See these scriptures that we say we all believe firmly, and now that we have had a little experience, and I say a little, experience in preaching on a regular basis, it's easy for us to understand how easy it is to get discouraged. And probably one of the hardest battles is to not get discouraged. And the only thing that will keep us from being discouraged is to keep our eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
Now, if we start looking at people and if we start looking at works and accomplishments, we're going to get discouraged. Because people are going to disappoint us. I knew that already, but it's been reaffirmed since I have been dealing more closely with people. But we depend on the power of God. We desire it. We want it in our lives. We believe it's an absolute necessity. We read in the Word of God that how that He adds to the body, that we're lively stones fitly framed together, and that we're fitly framed together for a purpose to offer up spiritual sacrifices to our Lord. And, you know, I'm not old, but I'm not. The Lord called my two sons to preach when they were real young, you know, and they had, if the Lord tarries, they had a whole lifetime to preach. And the Lord just called me 4 years ago this conference, and I began to understand something that Brother Clark said a long time ago. He said, you don't surrender to preach, you begin to surrender to preach. I've found that I have to surrender every day. And it's a fearful thing. It's a serious thing. It's a solemn thing. As Brother Hilly said last night, that's one of the reasons that he didn't believe in all of these gimmicks and gadgets and games and entertainments. Well, we don't either. We believe in that it's a serious business, and that we want God to manifest His blessings and power on our service. I said, I'm not old, but I'm too old to waste a lot of time. By the time I've preached as long as some of you are, I'll be old. And I'm already over 50, and I don't want to disillusion him. You didn't think I was that old either, did you? But I just told on him, see. I didn't know really till this morning just how devious he is. My wife says, "Why didn't you tell me?" And I said, "I didn't know." But we're thankful. And we've been saying a lot of words up here. But we want to, if we impress you with nothing else, we want to impress you with the idea that we want to please God. We want our service to be accepted of Him. And I tell my people probably every Sunday, until they're tired of hearing it. But if God does not accept our service, our time is wasted. We might as well close the book and go home.
Amen, brother.
And this is what's happening all over the country. And we need to get back to the Word of God.
Amen.
See what the Word of God tells us to do.
Amen.
And see where we're falling short. See where
Amen.
We're failing. We look at the headlines and we look at the conditions. And we look over here in the Word of God at 1st and 2nd Timothy. And it frightens us. Brother Roger says, because iniquity abounds, the love of many wax cold, and it is. And 1 Timothy tells us that in the last days, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last days that there be some will depart from the faith. And in 2 Timothy it says that in the last days perilous times shall come. And as we look around, as we read our newspapers and we see the things that are happening, they're here. We're in them. We're living them.
Amen.
It's a privilege. We count it, we thank the Lord because we believe that the darker it gets, the brighter the light will shine. And the Lord says, "Let your light so shine."
Amen.
That those around about you see your good works and not like many of them that are advertising in the newspapers, you know, telling what their good works are, but he said that those good works might bring honor and glory to him. And that's what we want. We want whatever we do to bring honor and glory to him. And here's what we want. If you turn with us to 1 Thessalonians, this is what we desire. I preached out of this. I'm not going to preach that message, but I preached on this text a couple weeks ago. And if we need anything today, we desperately need this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Said Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And you know, we strive to do that. We remember you all. We remember Brother Hilly and our pastor here and his wife and family and this church. We're thankful for you and for each one of you. It's been an influence in our lives. Been a blessing to us, been an encouragement to us. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. You know, one of the things that I believe is prevalent to preachers is we like to get out there under the juniper tree and feel sorry for ourselves. I found that out just recently too. But God says, you know, if we'll be anywhere near what he wants us to be, he won't leave us out there.
That's right.
And this is where it's at, I believe. Verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I believe we can know some things, and these things that we can know ought to keep us stirred up and keep
Amen.
Us doing and keep us going and keep us on fire for the Lord.
Amen.
But this next verse is what I desire and what I want and what I desire you to pray for me is exactly what it says. We believe Romans 1:16, and we believe all these things, but we need one more ingredient. It says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only." Anybody can take this book and read it. Anybody can learn to speak. We have schools, we have great orators in our country and all of this thing, and I'll probably never be one, but I don't need it. I need the power of God.
Amen, brother.
And this is what I long for. This is what we don't see. We look around our country, we see America disintegrating, deteriorating. We see sin is prevalent, immorality is prevalent. God's people are unconcerned, complacent. God's preachers, many are. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." This is the desire of our heart. As I said, we feel unworthy to probably the greatest thing that I have to overcome is that, Lord, how can I tell these people how to live? Yet you know, in Luke 1:17, as we study, how that God tells us about the mission and the ministry of John the Baptist. We're not going to take time to read much. We're just going to read the one verse, verse 17, Luke chapter 1. It said, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." As we look over in Revelation, you know, and we see the vision of John, and he said he saw that holy city come down. He said, for the bride had made herself ready. I believe now. Now's the time. Today is the day when that bride is making herself ready. I believe that bride is a Baptist bride.
Amen.
And what a heavy burden that is. I'm not going to ask, never do, and I don't ask anybody to feel sorry for me. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I want you to know that I appreciate the burden that puts on God's men to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And if that's not what our commission says, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 28.
Amen.
I'm so nervous I even forgot where Matthew was. Matthew chapter 28. Said, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." I believe you want to get the power of God, and the presence of God, and the Spirit of God on our ministry and in our lives and in our preaching, and it's going to be effectual. We're going to have to go to the God-appointed place. We're going to have to meet with Him, and God's people do too. And this is, we're going to have to preach it to them. They're going to have to come out of these radio and television ministries and get back into the local church and support that if their lives are going to count for the Lord. And I want mine to count. I want mine to be right. And that's why if there's any question at all on my life or on my ministry or in the church that I'm asked to pastor or the mission or whatever, I want to see it right. I don't care if we have to rebaptize everybody, if we have to reorganize, whatever we have to do, I think we ought to do anything we have to do to make it right, so that we know that what we do is going to be accepted of the Lord and have the power and the presence and the blessing of the Lord upon it. And that's what I want. And I don't want to be people to call me a troublemaker or anything like that, but I can't stay around where it's not, or where people are unwilling to be that way. Commission. Then the 11 disciples, they went to the place where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And I believe that commission is given to his church and to his men as he calls them out to lead his church, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Go, make disciples. Baptize them, teach them to observe. And only if we're doing that are we not wasting time. Are we doing, and can we expect the power and the presence of the Lord upon our lives? We see many. We drive around our great country, we see many new church buildings. And the religious magazines say that there's a big spiritual revival going on in our nation. I watched a program on television the other night, and there were many decisions that night. But you know, the thing that grieves me, the thing that concerns me, is the lack of change in people's hearts and lives. We preach to people, and as I said, I can understand why preachers get discouraged and will go into gimmicks and gadgets and programs and all these things, because just in the short time that I've been preaching, we're not careful, we'll find ourselves sitting back and saying, "What can I do to stir them up? What can I do to make them more faithful?" And when we start thinking that way, we're on dangerous ground.
That's right. Amen.
Because we can't do anything unless the Lord does it.
Amen.
Unless the Lord does it through us. And that's what we desire, and that's what we want, and that's what we've got to seek to find. The power and presence of God on our lives. As I said, we see a lot of things, but we preach week after week, time after time, and we know we have visitors, we know we have lost people in our services, and you preach what you feel that God has laid on your heart. And you preach against sin, and you preach against unfaithfulness, and you give an invitation, and there's no moves, and you have someone dismissed in prayer, and you go back to the back of the building, and they walk out. We enjoyed your little talk, preacher. No power and presence of the Lord. That grieves me. I can understand. I really can. I can understand why people, preachers and pastors want to do something to be successful. Do something to get people to come. Do something to fill their buildings. But you know, we can't do anything. We can't do anything unless it's acceptable unto the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 12. I remember not too long ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, Brother Hill had preached on, I think it's on this, the shaking But I just want to read a couple verses here in the last part of it. Verse 28 of Hebrews 12. It says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." I really think that's where it's at. Verse 29 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." I firmly believe that we have come to the place where that most Christians have forgotten who and what God is. It's our responsibility to preach to them, to always lay it before them, to stir up their minds to remember. It's a big responsibility. It's a grave responsibility. It's a solemn responsibility. Zephaniah tells us about those that were burdened for the solemn assembly. It's a serious thing. Brother Cleet said the other night at his meeting, you know, it is a serious thing. It's not something that you can play around with and joke around with. We're talking about people dying and going to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about unprofitable lives. We're talking about standing before our Lord and Savior in judgment with nothing to lay at His feet. Turn with me to Timothy and we'll close with some of this thinking. I've got about 10 pages of notes here, and I just kind of going to have to leave them go because God has, I believe, said what He wants to say, but we don't want to stall around or to waste time. Even in this, we don't have that kind of time. We don't want to take anybody else's time. But you know, to be effectual, we're going to have to do it the way the book tells us to do it.
Amen.
And as we, as God's people and God's men, as we look and as we serve from day to day, and we become discouraged, and we become or start to think, well, what can we do? We need to be very careful that we don't start doing some of those things that we think of, and we go back to the Word of God and see again what He tells us to do. I've been saved quite a while, and I've been heard a lot of messages preached, and I've had some good pastor. Brother Hilly was my first pastor. And as I think of the commission, and I think of being effective for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think of not having a wasted life, then I like to come back and read 2 Timothy chapter 4. Anytime I feel that I ought to be doing more, I'm not a hard shell either, by the way. I believe in visitation. I believe in preaching. I believe in talking to people about the Lord. I believe in doing whenever you can, wherever you can, however you can, visiting people, telling them about the Lord. We've done that for years. We went out two by two. We knock on doors and simply try to preach to them. I don't believe you ought to just go out and hand them a card and invite them to church or Sunday school or say, "Can we pick up your kids?" I believe that if they'll let you, you ought to right there preach the gospel to them, if they'll let you. So, 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Lord writes through Paul here. He said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word." The machine that's going to get the job done is the church. And the method is going to be out of the Lord's instruction book.
Amen.
Preach the word.
Amen.
And that's what we want to do. That's what, with the Lord's help, we're going to do. You pray that we stay faithful and we stay in the word and in the will of God. That what we do don't have to do as much if it's acceptable as you do if you're running around doing everything that comes into your mind and God's not accepting any of it.
That's right.
Why I think he said bodily exercise profits little. We do what he wants us to do, we'll accomplish much. So preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. But you know, he never says, when they do this, then will it be all right for you to quit preaching the word. It's always for us to be faithful. It doesn't make any difference what people do or what other churches do or what other pastors do. The command to us is to preach the word.
Amen.
Be instant in season when it's popular and when it isn't.
That's right.
And it's not popular, and you all know that. It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There's some things there that indicate what we're to do and what we're to be. We don't have time to get into that. But we preached the other night on our warfare. You know, I'm going to close there, but listen. We're not aware, God's people are not aware that there's a warfare. Take them over during World War II or Korean conflict or Vietnam or any of them, and you put them down in the middle there and the bullets start flying back and forth and the mortar and all that. They were aware that there was a battle. But somehow, we were talking about it the other night, we're at ease in Zion. We're not aware that there's a warfare. We're not acting like there's a warfare. God's people are not either. We need to stir them up. We need to stay with the Word. That's what we want to do. We're not trying to build the world's largest Sunday school. We're not trying to do all these things. We've got all the books that tell us how. We've got a library full of books that we've accumulated over the last 20, 25 years. How to do everything. But you know what? I found that they don't work. I found it doesn't build what God wants. And I found that what you build won't last with that. Thank you.
Amen.